Hi, I'm Ken.
And I'm Dee.
And this is Antiques Freaks.
The good podcast.
One of many.
Sure. All you other podcasts keep telling yourself that.
Jesus Christ.
So what are we talking about today?
Today, we will be taking on a listener suggestion from Jesse.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Dee, does the name Frozen Charlotte mean anything to you?
Oh, but it does.
Oh, good. What is Frozen Charlotte?
I think it is Good Charlotte's less successful side project.
Fuck. 6 pages of notes and I don't have a single fucking Good Charlotte joke.
It's fine, I got you.
Fuck, cancel the episode after we do this.
Fucking over. Click.
So, a Frozen Charlotte is a doll, ceramic, circa mid-19th century, sized anywhere from 3/4 of an inch to 18 inches, but most commonly about thumb or palm sized.
So, like, teensy.
Teensy little porcelain doll, typically plain white bisque or glazed porcelain. Much like a Cupid doll, it's a tiny naked baby.
Great! Awesome!
Usually standing with arms at sides, some with arms bent at elbows or with legs bent into sitting positions.
Do they ever have articulated limbs? I could have sworn I saw one once with arms.
We'll get to that.
Okay.
They were originally manufactured in Germany, called Badekinder, also known as bathing dolls.
My favorite, like, gunship album.
Badekinder? I'm gonna say supposedly because I'm not sure I totally believe this, but apparently the original models, the true Badekinder, had a glazed china front and an unglazed stoneware back, which allowed them to float on their backs in water.
Yeah, I'm with you on I don't know if I believe that.
I don't know enough about boat physics.
No.
And I also...
Boat? Wait, it's a doll. Ken, you're confused.
Yes, but D, I don't know how to tell you this, but boats float in water.
No, I know. Yeah.
I would assume that the physics that allow a boat to float in water are similar to the physics that might allow a porcelain doll to float in water.
I just really want to find a like a half and half porcelain doll so I can like chuck it into the river and see what happens.
Someone calls the fucking cops is what happens. Someone just threw a baby into the river.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure New York's had that problem twice now.
They are also sometimes called Nachtfrosch.
Is that Frozen Night?
A.K.A. Naked Baby Dolls.
I was so wrong!
God, I love German.
German is absolutely an S-tier language.
So, these dolls in the mid-19th century were extremely popular, not only in Germany, but also in England and America, where knockoff dolls made much more cheaply and out of one kind of ceramic and not stoneware and china mixed somehow. The knockoffs sold for a penny, which made them wildly accessible.
Okay, you can see that.
Now, you may have noticed that I've gone like 3 minutes without explaining why they're called Frozen Charlotte.
I did notice that, actually. Yeah, I kind of figured you were building up to something.
I am truly touched that you place that much trust in me as a friend.
I was just like, wow, he forgot to write in his notes, like, oh, I don't know anything about why it's got that weird name. Like, just, oh, end of the episode. Yeah, so they're dolls. Bye.
Sources include
Wikipedia, Germany, and we're good. Bye.
For the answer to the Frozen Charlotte riddle, we turn to the Ohio Democrat and Dover Advertiser.
That's not usually where I turn.
The February 20th, 1840 issue.
Oh, okay.
Wherein they reprinted an article from the New York Observer.
Okay.
Titled, A Corpse Going to a Ball. Metal as fuck.
Okay, that rules. Yeah.
Okay. The article begins with a 200-word preamble, just to bury the lead 6 feet underground.
Wow.
And finally gets down to business with, you recollect the first day of January, 1840. It was a bitter cold day.
Wait, why? Is it second person?
Yeah, here's the thing. Newspapers were buck wild. Newspapers are almost entirely staffed by people who wish they were novelists.
This fucking... This newspaper seems to be piloted by Anne Carson's stream of consciousness.
I mean, you're not, like, wrong.
Yeah, I know we just hired the ghost of Anne Carson when she sleeps. It seems to have taken up here.
And after another 75 words about how winter in upstate New York is indeed cold.
Great.
The article finally gets to the fucking point.
People in Ohio not know that?
Well, that's the thing. It was originally printed in the New York Observer.
So you'd
think that people in New York would be aware in the February 20th issue that it was in fact cold outside. But just in case, we have 300 words.
Fabulous.
Of introduction. But we arrive now at last to the promise implied by the title. A corpse going to a ball.
Take me to the ball, corpse.
The night of that day was to be observed, as is usual here, by a New Year's ball. Invitations had been extended for many miles around, and a great gathering of the young and gay and thoughtless was expected.
And I'm having that put on every part of me, thank you very much. Young, gay, and thoughtless.
New t-shirt design.
Oh shit, yeah.
None was happier in the thought of coming joy than Miss Blank, who took her seat in the sleigh by the side of her partner for the evening, and set out for a ride of some 20 miles to join the dance. She was young and gay. If you didn't fucking pick up on that earlier.
No, and thoughtless, yeah, no, I know.
And her charms of youth and beauty never were lovelier than when dressed for that New Year's ball.
20 miles, huh?
Yeah.
To the Love Shack. I got me a carriage. It's as big as two horses.
I'm leaving the podcast.
He knows. Curse you, before 20 numbers. 52s. B-52s.
I thought they were the B-22s this entire time.
You're having me on, aren't you?
No.
Oh, I thought you were just mocking my mistake.
No, the only reason I even know the band exists is because it was a plot point in an early episode of Gilmore Girls. I wish I were kidding.
I wish you were too.
Let us return to the less upsetting matter of a corpse going to a ball.
Yes.
Of course, too thinly clad for the season, and especially for that dreadful day, she had not gone far before she complained of being very cold, very cold. But their anxiety to reach there in time to be present at the opening of the dance induced them to hurry onwards without stopping by the way.
What would they do on the way?
Be warmer, I guess. That's the thing, like, you're traveling, like, in the evening in January in upstate New York, like, stopping isn't going to make you warmer, like, unless you're, like, heading into the woods to hack down a tree and build a fire.
Yeah, like, here's the thing, I've seen upstate New York now, and there's not, like, a lot going on, and I can't imagine that there was more.
Well, now you understand why they were so desperate to get to this particular ball, because it was the only thing happening in the entire goddamn state.
Yeah, I guess it's that or die, I don't know. I just don't think stopping was gonna help.
Not long after this complaining, she said that she felt perfectly comfortable, was now quite warm, and that there was no necessity of delay on her account.
Uh-oh. Anyone who's taken a basic first aid course knows what this means.
Hypothermia!
Here we come.
They reached, at length, the house where the company was gathering. The young man leaped from the sleigh, and extended his hand to assist her out, but she did not offer hers. He spoke to her. She answered not. She was dead, stone dead, frozen stiff, a corpse on the way to a ball.
Hey, that corpse didn't get to the ball, though. fake, dumb story.
I mean, presumably he then brought her inside the dance and pranced around with her like Lestat in Interview with the Vampire. But
the old girl has some life in her yet. Yeah, well, yeah.
That scene genuinely scares me.
Does it really?
Yes!
You've got to be kidding.
It's the scariest scene in the entire movie.
Is it just because there's a dead lady?
I mean, yeah. I'm one of those weirdos who's, like, not super into playing with corpses.
Yeah, well.
Like, one-to-one.
Can't relate. I think the scariest part for me as a child was when Lestat got set on fire, but now it's very funny.
So, a few things about this newspaper article.
It's, plotting?
While it does say it takes place in upstate New York, mm-hmm. It does not specify a town.
Noticed that.
Neither the boy nor the girl is named.
Oh, that was Miss Blanc.
No, I said Miss Blank because there's literally a dash where her surname
would be. Oh, wow. Me, swift on the uptake.
A narrator did that for one of the Jane Austen books, like one of the audiobooks that I was listening to, and it took me like a good hour before I figured out why they were doing that.
I would have never. Because
you can't actually say M dash out loud without sounding like a goddamn tool.
I would never have because I would have assumed she was French. Like, oh yes, Miss Blanc. It's a little on the nose for a winter story, but whatever.
Miss Blank, because there's nothing there. Because this is essentially a 19th century creepypasta.
I kind of was getting that vibe that it was like, and then there was a skeleton in the carriage. And then like the opening riff for Spooky Scary Skeletons plays.
Welcome to another tale from the Crypt Keeper.
Yeah, man, what if a lady died? That'd be pretty rough, huh? Oh, I don't like that. Anyway.
So yeah, not everything printed in a 19th century newspaper is 100% fact. Because back in the day when print media was king, they had to fill space.
So they just gotta kinda like tell a scary story.
So sometimes the incredibly frustrated failed novelists that worked for the newspaper would straight up just make up shit. Because it's easier than going outside.
That's, hey.
Can relate.
I was gonna say, like, if anyone here can, like, 100% relate, I think I know.
It me.
Just the man. I will say this, still better than Jeff the Killer.
Ooh. Creepypasta call out.
I've never been more certain no one's going to have a problem with the statement I just made.
The entirety of Wattpad disagrees.
Well, I don't think they're listening.
You've made some Slenderman fanfiction authors very angry.
I think they're too busy writing about, like, Stone Cold Steve Austin having a tea party or whatever.
Oh, God, if only.
Fuck,
now I want that.
As soon as I said that, it was already, like, way better than what's on Wattpad.
So, despite being extremely obviously fake and pretend.
Yeah, like, in a lot of ways.
This story takes off in the American consciousness.
Oh, is this, like, a really early urban legend?
Oh, yes.
Oh, God, that's really cool.
This story is so inspirational, in fact, that Seba Smith, in 1843, is inspired to write an 84-line poem. Also titled, A Corpse Going to a Ball.
Hey, well, that's riffing a little too hard.
I'm not going to read all 84 lines, because I value my time on this earth.
Yeah.
But I did write them all down.
Like, I just, like, hey, Ken, could you just narrate a book real quick?
Stretch goal for Patreon.
No, someone's gonna do it.
So much like the newspaper article, the poem wastes 24 lines establishing that it is cold. And then, in line 24, her Charlie's sleigh appears.
Oh, he has a name now.
He does. And so does the girl, because in line 1, she is named Young Charlotte.
Ah, Young Charlotte.
Charlotte and Charlie. Is there anything more nauseating?
No.
And in line 25, Charlotte develops parents.
Whoa! What a hideous growth.
Now, daughter dear, her mother cried, this blanket round you fold, for 'tis a dreadful night abroad, you'll catch your death a cold. Oh nay, fair Charlotte said, and she laughed like a gypsy queen. Which is certainly...
That's a choice.
That's a simile you chose to make.
I don't understand... Even if that weren't racist.
Right?
I don't have, like, a comparison.
Even if we, like, put the racism aside for a moment, it doesn't make any goddamn sense. It doesn't
fucking make any sense.
To ride with blankets muffled up, I never could be seen.
You're not gonna be seen by anybody, you're in upstate New York.
It's just you and the moose, honey.
Yeah, like, Charlie knows what you look like, it's fine.
Now, are you being rude to upstate New York because that is where the Keno twins are from?
No, actually, I kind of forgot about that. I'm not being rude to upstate. I think upstate New York is just, like, very barren. Like, I drove through it for 3 hours without seeing a thing except for an intensely mysterious Burger King on a mountain.
The Burger of the Mountain King?
Yeah, the Burger of the Hall of the Burger King, as it were. No, it's like Connecticut where there are just these... Not Connecticut... There's too many things in Connecticut, and I wish they'd stop. It's like what the fuck am I thinking? Pennsylvania. It's just like, you can go a long time before you see something.
My silken cloak is quite enough. You know 'tis lined throughout. And then I have a silken shawl to tie my neck about.
Dumb. Dumb girl. Don't like her.
Anyway, she gets in the sleigh and they go off for another 16 lines of being in the woods and, hey, it's cold. Did you know in upstate New York in the winter, cold, actually.
So, without me just snarking at upstate New York, it does go on to clarify that they are riding through the empty woods.
Yeah.
Who the hell did she think was going to see her?
Amazing question.
I want the moose to be titillated at the sight of me, sylph-like, in my shawl.
16 lines later, Charlie speaks.
The whole conversation with her parents, he's just sitting there like,
A proper Victorian gentleman.
I'm not gonna get between this.
Such night as this I never saw, the reins I scarce can hold. And Charlotte, shivering, faintly said, I am exceeding cold.
What a surprise.
Next four lines are devoted to telling us that they didn't say anything else for the next 5 miles.
Good relationship. Cool relationship you guys have.
How fast, said Charles, the freezing ice is gathering on my brow. Did you know it's fucking cold?
I didn't. Was it?
Yeah.
It's cold.
But Charlotte said with feebler tone, I'm growing warmer now.
That doesn't... Okay, well, that's really... I know that poems don't have to rhyme, but that did break the rhythm.
Brow rhymes with now.
I don't know, there's something bad... Anyway, I'm sorry, I'm not gonna get into poem breakdowns stum, but like...
If you want to talk about poem breakdowns, email us at antiquesfreakspodcast@gmail.com.
I'm sorry, appropriate responses of, ooh, spookies.
There's nothing spookier than hypothermia.
Hypothermia's pretty scary.
Yeah, it's fine. Anyway, they get to the village, and Charles jumps out and tries to let her out of the carriage, and she's, like, not having it because she's... not responding for some reason.
Can't imagine.
So he spends another couple stanzas trying to get a response. And then, finally, in line 77, he took her hand in his. Oh God, 'twas cold and hard as stone. He tore the mantle from her face. The cold stars on her shone.
What? Oh, okay, yeah, all right. Sorry, I just unpacked that sentence.
Yeah, no, it's a very good 19th century poem. Then quickly to the lighted hall, her voiceless form he bore. His Charlotte was a stiffened corpse, and word spake nevermore.
Oh, spook. A spooky.
So clearly Edgar Allan Poe cribbed directly from this for his poem, The Raven.
Obviously. Because The Raven was, like, long, too, and I'm pretty sure there's, like, a dead girl in it.
I was honestly just going off the phrase nevermore.
Oh.
This incredible, amazing, beautiful, astounding poem grips the nation.
Does it really?
Yes. And then, because the poem is even more popular than the newspaper creepypasta that inspired it, William Lorenzo Carter sets it to music and adds a few more verses because it wasn't long enough.
What? Thank you, Mr. Carter.
About Charlie dying of heartbreak and the two kids sharing a tomb and whatever. And this... gets even more popular.
Does he die at the ball?
Now it's a song. No, he's just like, oh, she sure is a corpse. Anyway, I have no reason to live now. Goodbye.
Laters. If it were realistic, she would have just stripped naked. And so I think the poem's missing that.
We have some notes.
Yeah,
about the accuracy of the depiction of hypothermia.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Could you please call up Lorenzo Clark and tell him that I have some suggestions?
Sure. Meanwhile... 1843, you have these tiny white dolls everywhere.
Oh, God. Oh, God, this is scarier than a cold night in upstate New York.
As Elizabeth Fernandez put it in her article, Still She Never Stirred, Frozen Charlotte Dolls of the Victorian Era, the similarities between the lyrics of the song and the qualities of the Frozen Charlotte doll are apparent. For example, verse 9 reads, Why sit you there like a monument and have no power to stir? Which seems fitting for a doll with immobile arms and legs.
Incredible. I can't, you know, I never would have put that together myself.
Listen, it's an academic paper. You have to be Captain Obvious.
I know, it's gotta, like,
it's the style. But yeah, much like poor Charlotte, the dolls are cold, immobile, and bright white. Much like a frozen girl.
Yeah, just like a frozen girl. Although I did notice that Charlotte wasn't a baby.
Listen.
Charlie rolls up and just taking my baby to the ball. I don't think it needs a blanket.
So, a frozen Charlotte is a ceramic doll originally from Germany, molded all in one piece, usually all white with no moving parts, frozen in place, that rose to popularity in America at the same time as a popular folk song about a girl as stiff as a monument, therefore gaining the American name of Frozen Charlotte.
Oh, okay, so the dolls weren't a response. They were just, like, a happenstance?
Dolls first, then song, then doll name.
That's I didn't know that.
We also get the Frozen Charlie, which is the boy version of a Frozen Charlotte.
No way, really?
It's the exact same body mold, but with shorter hair.
You know, the two genders. Dead frozen long hair and dead frozen short hair.
There's also such a thing as a half-frozen Charlotte.
I didn't quite get all the way.
Which is a similar mold, but with arms attached by a wire so they can move independent of the body.
I like the implication that Charlotte has frozen from the waist down and is just like, flailing her arms.
A true frozen Charlotte, according to antiques dealer Nancy Russell, is quite tiny, simple, and has no moving parts.
Okay.
If it has moving parts, it's a half frozen.
I see.
Also, some of them came with coffins?
Wait, before the song?
Post-song.
Oh, okay. That's just... Here's the thing, antiques from Germany, I would believe it, but like...
Post-folk song popularity, some frozen Charlottes came with their own little tin coffins with a hole in the lid to frame the doll's face.
For kids.
Now, I did see this fact copy-pasted across every blog discussing frozen Charlottes. I did not find a non-blog source. So I'm skeptical about whether or not the coffins are original to the dolls. However, the dolls fit extremely well into these coffins.
All right, fair enough.
So,
aftermarket cottage industry for like little coffin cases for your frozen Charlotte.
The 19th century was a wild time. But the real question is, are they food?
I think actually we probably put that very much ironically to rest when we, when you exhaustively stated that they were dolls. Although I guess anything's food if you really put your mind to it.
Nancy Russell, an antiques dealer for 40 years, admitted she once thought the dolls were called Frozen Charlottes because they had once been frozen into an icy treat, much like popsicles.
What?
She later realized this explanation was erroneous.
Where did she even get that idea? She saw a little doll and said, yeah, that must have been in a popsicle. Just to take a trip to that woman's mind.
However, she's not too far off because there is a food called a frozen Charlotte.
Of course there is.
According to Atlas Obscura, concurrent with the popularity of both doll and song, was the Ladyfinger and Bavarian cream dessert, Charlotte Russe. The frozen version of this is called a frozen Charlotte.
No shit.
Which is how we got a Martha Stewart how-to video on how to make frozen Charlotte. Thanks, Martha.
You just put her in a chariot. Chariot? Carriage?
Sleigh?
You put her in a sleigh, and she says, no blanket, thank you, and it's a good thing you have a frozen Charlotte. I'm sorry, that was a bad joke.
I appreciate it. If no one else.
I didn't know that Charlotte Russe's came frozen.
I mean, you can do anything with the modern magic of freezers. But also, frozen Charlotte might be the original king cake baby.
Okay, so I was wrong and it is food.
Maybe? According to Dan Wohler, the food entomologist.
Yeah, that's a job you can have.
With the internet, anything's possible. In 1700s England, they had Twelfth Night cakes, which were dense fruit cakes eaten on the Twelfth Night celebration, which include a bean as a prize in the cake, and whoever gets the piece with the bean gets, quote, special privileges that day.
I do not like that. Just immediately, gut check, hate it.
In 1700s England, this bean does not represent baby Jesus.
I didn't think it would. What are the special privileges?
No one knows. France, around the same time, has the same tradition, with a bean or pecan wrapped in foil, which gradually evolved into tiny porcelain figures of tools, saints, celebrities, none of which represent the baby Jesus.
Oh, for a second I thought that was the name of Tool's new album. France moved too fast for me. It started with pecan, which I would note is a thing you can eat. And they were like, I think this should probably become a small porcelain tool.
Yes.
All right, sure.
Mysterious are the ways of France. These charms are called fèves, Because they were...
It's my fev.
It's my fev.
This is my fev kick.
Because they were originally fava beans.
Oh!
With or without Chianti.
I got that.
I understood that reference.
I understood that reference.
Which brings us to New Orleans, January 6th, 1870.
Oh, we're here.
We're here. A golden bean is baked into a king cake.
I'm sorry, well, how do you get that already? I'm starting with the golden bean?
The golden bean.
They paint it?
Is baked into a king cake.
God, no wonder everyone was dying all the goddamn time.
Bringing tradition from 12th night fruitcake to king cake.
Okay.
Different kind of cake, no longer a dense fruitcake. Also in New Orleans now.
I thought a king cake was a fruitcake.
No one knows. Unpossible. All who seek this knowledge go mad. Meanwhile, in the 1930s...
The king and cake?
The king in yellow was the golden bean and the king cake.
Oh my god, it's all coming together.
1930s. Still in New Orleans. Now at Mackenzie's Bakery.
Okay, hold on. I'm doing the Charleston.
Good job.
I already did it.
The owner, Don Entringer. Entringer?
Do you want to try that one again?
The owner, Don... Fuck. It's been a week.
I think it's more that it's a French name, and, you know, it takes a, I'm not gonna be rude here and just say it takes a lot of practice to get the hang of some of the pronunciations.
Oh, you mean Don Entringer?
Yeah, there we go. That sounded better, to be fair.
Did it really?
Yeah, like...
Because it felt worse. Entringer is the owner of Mackenzie's Bakery, and he wants to put something other than a bean in his king cakes.
Naturally.
He dreams big.
I guess, like, you're just like, I guess, theoretically, this could be anything.
Around the same time, he is visited by a traveling frozen Charlotte salesman.
That's a thing, huh? Did you get... Do you want a small, creepy doll? Like,
Tiny babies.
Do you want a little baby, little guy? I want it.
Entringer bought the lot.
Naturally.
Put them in cakes and created a new tradition.
Choking on your food. A new Orleans tradition.
Later, he would switch to plastic babies because they were cheaper than porcelain.
No, yeah, and easier to swallow.
Other bakeries copied Mackenzie's Bakery, and now every king cake has a charm.
Huh.
Entringer, from a 1990 interview, said, "We were the first to use babies."
A sentence you almost never want to hear.
I've heard people say it's supposed to represent the Christ child, but that's not true.
Suck it, Christians.
Why we picked this, I don't know. It was cute.
I saw a baby and I went ham. I don't know what to tell you.
It was a trinket that happened to be a baby.
What a wonderful... He could have run with it. He could have sold it. Everyone decided it was the Christ child, and he absolutely could have been like, yeah, 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 you're, mm-hmm, yes, Christmas. But this king himself goes on the record going like, nah, I don't know what you're talking about.
In conclusion, the New Orleans king cake baby is a frozen Charlotte, not baby Jesus. Checkmate atheists.
What? Wait.
Yes.
What? No. I don't think this is...
But we have stumbled onto an even more important question.
How can I eat the baby Jesus?
Are frozen Charlotte dolls haunted?
Oh, here we go.
Yes, this is a real Google search suggestion. Alongside Frozen Charlotte poem, Frozen Charlotte movie, and Frozen Charlotte mold.
Movie?
Yeah, there was a horror movie that used the same thing and had nothing to do with the doll.
Oh, lame.
Yeah. But yes, are frozen Charlotte dolls haunted?
I can say with a certain air of authority, yes. And if you want to know what that authority is, mine.
I would say not inherently.
No, they're all haunted by the same fictional girl.
They are not any more so haunted than any other porcelain doll produced in the 19th century. Because the dolls predate the creepypasta.
Okay, but like, so they're like intensely haunted. If they're as haunted as any other porcelain doll from the 19th century, then I'm actually going to say it's like 100 haunted.
You're right. I've been trying to cover up the haunting of Frozen Charlotte for too long.
Dude, it's something about porcelain. Porcelain's like a ghost sponge.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah, because why don't you, like, no one ever says, like, oh, my hardwood Queen Anne table is haunted. Like, no. It's always my porcelain doll. And some people say, Well, that's just not true. And you have glommed on to, like, perhaps a version of tale-telling that paints dolls as inherently creepy because of their unchanging expression. But I say to you, isn't it more likely that porcelain is like a ghost trap?
So your theory is that ghosts are attracted to porcelain dolls not because they are avatars of human figures, like made in human images, so a human spirit might feel more comfortable in something human-shaped, but because porcelain is inherently, like, tasty for ghosts.
Yeah, well, Ken, the thing you just said sounds... Well, it sounds like a made-up thing that you made up.
Right.
Not like the truth,
which is ghosts are inherently attracted to porcelain.
Yeah, ghosts, they like to be there.
Oh, fuck. Ghosts do love ceramics.
Ghosts love ceramics.
We learned that from watching Ghost.
What did I tell you?
Holy shit.
Yeah, that was earth clay.
I am so sorry.
Yeah, you should be.
I am so sorry for putting down your innovative and insightful idea.
Well, it's authoritative, too. You forgot that part.
Right, I'm sorry. Your authoritative idea. My God. All porcelain is haunted.
Yeah. It's true.
Bone china.
You know that porcelain cup that looks like a booby that I have?
Uh-huh.
Haunted.
At least 10 haunted. But now that you know the truth about Frozen Charlotte, you want to collect her.
I do. I want her in my life.
This is going to be difficult.
Shit! I hate it when you say that. I don't want it to be difficult. I want it to be easy.
Well, too bad. Because every small ceramic figure that can remotely pass for vintage gets labeled Frozen Charlotte on eBay.
How do you tell the diff?
One thing, they're not fucking Cupies.
That's for sure, yeah.
Despite people consistently labeling ceramic Cupies as Frozen Charlottes.
A Cupie creature went into its carriage. Cupies aren't canonically human. Please see our Cupie episode for more.
If it has a full molded and painted cowboy outfit, it's not a Frozen Charlotte.
Well, here, Ken, hear me out.
If it's a Precious Moments, it's not a Frozen Charlotte.
No, that's fine. I agree with that. The cowboy thing I'm going to take you up on, because it doesn't say what she wore to the ball.
It said her silken cape and silken scarf.
But it didn't say her silken cape or silken scarf, and certainly not chaps.
Was the reason she got so cold was because they were assless chaps?
Yeah, they were just hanging out.
Cool. I'm so glad we were able to solve this age-old mystery.
Listen, I got a ghost PhD. I can tell you all about it. What does that have to do with cowboys?
Now, is it a ghost PhD because you studied ghosts or because there is only a phantom diploma on your wall?
Oh my god. Shots fired, sir.
Pistols at dawn. But yeah, Frozen Charlotte is to dolls what the descriptor Victorian is to everything available for sale on the internet.
I wish you got the face. That was like trauma, I think, almost.
Yeah, it's the trauma of never being able to find authentic 19th century antiques because everyone labels their disco balls Victorian.
There are...
Which isn't to say that the Victorians didn't have disco balls, because they did, but...
You saw my mouth moving, you're like, I'm gonna put this very much to bed right now.
But I sincerely doubt that your plastic disco ball is authentically Victorian.
You are correct, sir. No, no, the internet has been plagued with, like, is it even a little bit old? It is probably Victorian.
It's the only historical period anyone's ever heard of, so everything from history must be Victorian.
And to be fair, the Victorians did kind of earn that.
I am disinclined to say that the Victorians earned anything.
Am I correctly interpreting that as a shot at the upper class?
Maybe.
All right.
So, eBay's a minefield, but remember, if it's not a non-mobile baby doll, it's not a Frozen Charlotte.
Okay.
Also, if it was made in the 1990s, it's not a Frozen Charlotte.
Yeah, well, there we are.
On eBay, everything's a Frozen Charlotte. Your dog is a Frozen Charlotte. God. Your mom is a Frozen Charlotte.
Oh my god, I didn't know.
Your house is a Frozen Charlotte. Etsy, it's mostly actually dolls. Most actually look like Frozen Charlottes.
That's good. Your tone suggests there's a catch.
But beware remakes and recasts and reproductions.
Which was easy because they were single molds. Yeah,
yep. I don't know how to tell them apart. I'm sorry.
I think you can go with a lot of general rules for catching recasts and stuff.
Crazing
mold is great.
No mold marks.
Mold marks.
Yes, crazing. No mold marks. Correct?
No.
Question mark?
I actually say yes. This gets a little dicier on porcelain. I would say actually yes, mold marks. I'd be more suspicious about one without.
Really?
Unless it's, like, obviously a fine quality where it's pretty clear that they finished it. A lot of the mass-produced stuff doesn't have, like, you see the mold marks? I don't know. I feel like that's, like, a moot point. I would go with crazing and paint condition first.
Right on.
And size. But actually, that's less reliable because they came in such a wide variety of sizes, huh?
But if someone has, like, a lot of 500 tiny ones...
That would... I actually feel pretty confident saying recasts, yeah. Yeah, crazing and paint is pretty reliable.
Right on. The prices for genuine frozen Charlottes vary wildly. And by wildly, I mean $4 to $500.
What? Yep.
Depending on size, condition, age, whether or not it's actually a frozen Charlotte, etc. Some of the more expensive ones are very clearly not frozen Charlottes, so I don't know why they're asking $500 for a doll head.
Or are they just, sure, like, articulated dolls?
I think what's going on is that they know people search for frozen Charlotte when they want 19th century porcelain dolls. So if they have a genuine 19th century porcelain doll head, they're going to slap frozen Charlotte on it.
Oh, so it's like when I'm trying to find trip pants and they all say, like, rockabilly, cyberpunk, goth,
Victorian steampunk,
weird kid, like, yeah, it's like that.
Yeah.
It's SEO.
I hate SEO.
I despise SEO.
I hate it so much. And for $18 on eBay, you can get a thread waxer, which is a thimble full of wax with a tiny porcelain doll stuck in it up to its neck.
So I love doll torture.
It's not so much a frozen Charlotte as it is a drowning Charlotte, but...
It's a waxy Charlotte.
Waxy Charlotte. At the high end of frozen Charlotte marketplace, we get the doll sale website that I'm hoping you will know how to pronounce. Therio? Therialt.
I would actually just pronounce it as Tarot.
Tarot.
You guys, if any listener out there knows, correct us, please.
AntiquesFreaksPodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, yell.
Anyway, they auctioned off a lot of 7 actual frozen Charlotte dolls, circa 1880.
Oh.
For $1,300.
Whoa!
But since they came with an actual working antique doll bathtub / shower,
what?
With a little hot water tank so the dolls can take a real shower with real water, I think that might have driven up the price.
What are you talking about? What?
A doll-sized bathtub-shower combo with a copper hot water tank so the dolls can take real showers.
That's incredible.
From the 1800s.
I hate rich people.
I think that may have driven up the price of the lot.
First, my brain was immediately like, oh, is it to warm up the frozen
She's feeling warmer now.
Yeah, because you put me in the shower. Thank you. That's actually a really bad thing to do to someone.
Yeah, don't do that if you have hypothermia.
Yeah, that's a terrible. It's body heat all the way.
Because then all of the heat that's heating up your core will go to your skin, and then you don't have any heat in your core.
Yeah.
And then your heart actually freezes.
No, fanfiction was right. Skin-to-skin contact.
So useful. In so many works. So convenient. See, that's what I mean. There's nothing quite like hypothermia.
There's nothing quite like it. I would call it the sexiest of the temperature-related ways to die.
It's true.
Because there's nothing like attractive about hyperthermia.
Yeah, heat stroke is never sexy.
It's not sexy.
And that is all I have for frozen Charlotte.
Wow. Sorry, I glanced at your notes and did see cool find. Get it? which, like... That's a good note.
Thanks. Thoughts, questions, concerns, comments on Charlotte and her frozen nature?
Does the size of the doll influence the price? Like,
yes.
Do the bigger ones worth more?
Yes, generally.
Okay. It's unusual. No, that's normal.
I don't know. I am relying on you and your 14 years of antiques experience.
I think it's... I am actually really rusty with dolls, which is ironic, because I collect them. But dolls are... They're thorny. I try to absorb as much as I can from doll collectors, because there's a lot to take in there. It's a lot. But yeah, I think generally it is, like... It depends on what you're talking about, because, like, the celluloid dolls are, like, more valuable small...
Because it's a miracle it didn't combust.
I guess because the little ones you could crush in your palm and use like a flash grenade. I have a celluloid thing on my dresser, and I keep forgetting to move it, and every time I'm like, I lived another night.
Can you just get a mason jar, fill it with water, and put it in that, please, for me and my peace of mind?
Yes, yes, I'm going to move it.
Thank you.
I'm going to wrap it in some damp cloth. But, for example, since the frozen charlottes were more common small, it would be more valuable big.
Yes.
Yeah. Generally, just what is normal for the doll? What's normal for your doll? That's cool. I didn't know. So I actually did know about the frozen Charlotte doll and a little bit that there was a story. I actually had been raised thinking it was a true story. So that's cool.
How dare we doubt the veracity of Miss Blank and her nameless village in upstate New York? Other newspaper stories of the time, when based on real events, are meticulous about getting the first, last name, age, location, everything.
Yeah.
Because they needed to fill space.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I wasn't raised by Victorians, chronologically speaking, but, so everyone had heard the story as like a, no, this happened. My cousin saw it. Like, that kind of thing.
My cousin was the horse pulling the sleigh.
And I guess, to be fair, it's not hard to imagine someone dying of cold in the winter in New England.
Have you heard that it's cold in upstate New York in February?
I haven't. Do you have about 83 lines to prove that to me? So, like, I don't know. I just kind of like, yeah, I guess a girl could die. And it's like, figured, yeah, I guess sure. At some point probably that did happen. So that was interesting. I didn't know what the I thought grilled Charlotte
a modern remake.
She's crispy. I didn't know about the frozen Charlie. That's really cool. I imagine those must be very pricey. They seem less common because I literally never heard of them. I like frozen Charlottes. I think they're neat. I don't know why there's something about human nature that makes you look at a small, like, effigy of a child and just want to have it. I think I might own one, but at this point I own so many dumb antiques that I have to, like, go through it.
I mean, I share my sister's love for miniatures, so I do have an entire box that's just, like, tiny rubber figurines.
Ah, oh, that's so cool.
Like, thumb size.
I love that. Like,
I
never
do anything with them, but I must have them.
I'll get you a little glass case from IKEA.
So I can show off my toys.
Bruh. I got bad news for you about, like, what my whole scene looks like.
I'm sorry, that was extremely dismissive of toy collectors.
I was going to buy a special case that has the Decepticon logo on the base.
Just for the boxes in space?
Just for my box, for my space boxes. but generally, that, very cool. I get it? Very cool. Ice.
Because she died of hypothermia.
Because she died that way, Ken.
So insensitive.
So was this in part, like, cautionary tale? Because this very much feels like even, like, modern creepypastas usually, like, the bad thing is, like, don't... Well, it got weird now, but it's like, don't buy your dad on eBay.
Yes, in a way, because part of the 200-word preamble of the original article involved a reference to an English work, supposedly by a surgeon, titled Death at the Toilet.
That's seems unrelated.
Because toilet, at that point in history, meant essentially vanity.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, you could say toilet was a verb, I think.
Yeah, toilet, to do your toilet was to, like, put your makeup on, get your hair did, put your dress on, admire your jewels in the mirror, and go. And because both of these things tended to take place in or around the lavatory, toilet became a euphemism for using the restroom. And, like, every euphemism for using the restroom eventually became vulgar, and then we had to invent a new one.
Yeah. That it's, even thinking that, it still seems, like, tangentially related. In that, like, well, a girl died, so it's just, like, frozen Charlotte.
Well, a girl died at her toilet because she was too fucking vain to live.
Yeah, that's, like, it has a very, like, died for vanity kind of, like...
You died for vanity!
Yeah, like...
So, yes, it was, I'm gonna say, cribbing off the popular English story about a girl dying for vanity.
Okay. I'm wondering if it actually predates, if this is, like an early parent of the theme that, like, a lot of American urban legends would be moral. They'd be moralistic. Like, I'm curious about that.
Very interesting.
You know, you think through, like, a bunch of urban legends, like, you know, man, car, hand hook, car door. You know, these all have, like...
Mantor hand hook car door genuinely scares me.
Yeah, well,
I found a YouTube channel that read it in a spooky voice and I couldn't finish it because I got too spooked.
Man, I would give anything to have that back. To just, like, be afraid of things
just
genuinely.
To be constantly in terror.
Yeah.
For laughable reasons.
It's not laughable. Like, yeah, the idea of getting...
It's man door, hand hook, car door.
But, like, the idea of getting killed in a car...
I had to cultivate the ability to say the full title without bursting into laughter. I put work into being able to tell you man door, hand hook, car door.
You do know that the original's not called that, right?
No. But that is the name that we have all come to know
the,
it
the
by.
The camp counselors don't shine the flashlight and go, Sail of Man, go hand hook car door.
I'm pretty sure the camp counselors don't tell it in person because people would assume they were having a stroke.
But, all right, well, what I meant was just that that was actually a bad example because, like, that moral is more modern. But, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of them do have this, like...
Pray tell... What is the moral of man door, hand hook, car door?
I'm pretty sure it's like, don't let anyone into your car if they have a hook for it. Well,
but
no,
she
they're
didn't.
All, they're all tied up with like...
She let no one into the car, she just sat in the car.
They're all tied up with like sex. It's like, oh, this bad thing happened to these kids because they went off to neck.
Don't guard your boyfriend's stereo while he goes for gas.
He says, I've done a lot of stereos being stolen recently.
I love you, sweaty.
I love you, sweaty. I won't let anyone take your stereo. But yeah, no, like, a lot of them are just this whole, like, oh, none of this would have happened to these kids if they hadn't gone necking. Like, and there is a subtle undercurrent that, like, this behavior is bad.
Nothing would have happened to these kids if they hadn't shut down this mental hospital without making sure all the patients were out first.
Yeah.
That one's real.
That one wasn't, the problem with that is that it wasn't a legend. It was just, like, it was a horrible thing that happened. But you know what I mean. Like, there tends to be, like, these lessons attached.
What is the name of that one? I'm
Cropsy.
Blanking. Thank you. Cropsy. Okay.
The Cropsy urban legend that turned out to be horrifyingly real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oops. Oopsies.
Please absolutely check out that story if you are into spooky stuff, true crime. If you're into the history of mental illness treatment in America, it is fascinating.
If you just want to get real mad at the Reagan administration.
And you should. I can't think of a single axis that story isn't, like, intensely fascinating. So please.
But also beware that bad things happen to children in it.
Yes, unfortunately bad things happen to literally every person at every juncture of the story, I'm afraid.
So sources for Frozen Charlotte include...
Well, I mean, we're talking about spooky stuff. I love it. I love this spooky doll.
HushedUpHistory.com article, Frozen Charlotte, the tragic toy for girls and boys. The Washington Post had the article, Charlotte is frozen, but what a doll.
Oh.
By Anita Gold.
Thank you, Anita Gold.
Dan Wohler, the food etymologist, had Frozen Charlotte, the creepy doll that became the King Cake Baby. Atlas Obscura, the haunting history of the Frozen Charlotte dolls, by Ann Eubank. The Columbia Tribune had the article, Frozen Charlotte doll, a cool find. By Nancy Russell. And also the article, Still She Never Stirred, Frozen Charlotte Dolls of the Victorian Era, by Elizabeth Fernandez. The original article in the Ohio Democrat and Dover Advertiser, February 20th, 1840, reprinted from the New York Observer, A Corpse Going to a Ball. And, as ever, Wikipedia.
Thank you, Wikipedia.
Donate, won't you? Thank you.
Yes.
And thank you to Jesse for suggesting this episode topic.
Yeah, super thank you. That was fun.
If you would like to suggest other episode topics, you can email us directly at antiquesfreakspodcast@gmail.com, or you can hit us up on Facebook at facebook.com/antiquesfreaks, or in our Facebook group, Antiques Freaks Friends,
where you can share your antiques and ask us questions and do whatever you like, because it's a fun group for friends.
Yay! We also have an Etsy at etsy.com/shop/antiquesfreaks, where we have t-shirts and stickers with the podcast logo on them and a wide variety of vintage goods.
And potentially in the future, young, gay, and thoughtless, because I'm serious, I might make that a shirt.
Young and gay and thoughtless. It me. If you would like to listen to deleted scenes, you can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/antiquesfreaks. And while you're there, you can join the Random Vintage Postcard of the Month Club, where we send you a random vintage postcard every month.
Just got a fresh batch and excited to send them out. And also, if you liked what you heard here today or ever at any time, if you could scroll on down to wherever you're listening to this podcast and leave us a 5-star review or whatever star review you would like, but I prefer the 5.
2 stars. Charlotte only half frozen.
You keep every time stop encouraging people to rate us poorly.
Because the algorithm doesn't care.
It super doesn't care.
It cares a little bit about the stars. It cares nothing about what you write. So you can just go off. Just live your bliss. Chase your dreams.
Give us a 5-star rating.
Run with scissors. Drive this car off a building and drive it straight into another building.
Please, with your fast car.
Faster car.
Give us a 5-star rating and then tell us we're soulless hacks. Like, I don't...
Give us a 5-star rating and tell us we crib too much for a bit.
But yeah, it's incredibly helpful. That is the metric by which we are measured here and in the afterlife. And also it's how...
when Anubis places our heart upon the scales.
He's going to say, how many downloads?
And if we don't have enough iTunes reviews, he will throw our heart into the river where it will be devoured by crocodiles. And also Amit.
Yeah, so...
And unmake us from reality. So please, if you care about this podcast, even a little bit, consider rating, won't you? Thank you.
Perfect. You know what? That's the perfect pitch. Thank you.
Special shout out to everyone who's reviewed us thus far. You bring us life and joy.
Yeah, that's the best.
And shout out to our current patrons for paying our hosting fees and getting us ever closer to our goal of releasing bonus episodes.
Which is going to be cool.
Yes. So much shrieking about Ripper Street.
I was going to say, it's...
I can't wait.
I'm really, it's going to be freer, I think, freeform. Going to be a lot of shrieking about Ripper Street.
It's going to be a lot of weird extra shit.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Which should be fun.
So get on that.
And thank you, particularly, for listening.
Especially you.
Goodbye.
Bye.